for that. And it's all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Acts, the book of Acts, once again, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter. I want to read to you, once again, three verses in this chapter, beginning with verse 6. Beginning with verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, he being Jesus, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And again, my subject is the purpose of the Spirit-filled church. Hallelujah. And I've shared with you already one of the purposes, and this is very, 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 very important purpose of the Spirit-filled church is to win the lost. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to win the lost. We've got to share Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We don't take this light and hide it under a bushel, under a basket, under a bucket, or whatever. We don't hide it. We let it shine. How many of you know people need Jesus? This world needs Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're called to win the lost, and we're also called, and we've been instructed by the Word of God to strengthen our brethren. The brethren get discouraged sometimes. You hear me? The brethren get discouraged sometimes. Sometimes doubt and unbelief try to creep in. Sometimes the enemy will come in and try to give you reasons why you are not where you think you should be. Too many times, listen to me, too many times we try to figure things out in our minds when we need to simply go to God. Go to God. Let him lead us. Let him guide us. Because I'm telling you right now, everything that God does is not going to make sense to your natural mind. It's not always going to make sense to your natural mind. But you have to understand, God sees the future. All we know is the present and the past. But God sees the future. And God always knows what's best for me.
Amen.
Why don't you write that down? God knows what's best for me. And I encourage you to read it often. God knows what's best for me. Hallelujah. But sometimes, as I was saying, the brethren, that includes the sistering too, if I can say it that way, brothers and sisters, needs to be encouraged. They need to know that God hadn't forgot about your brother, God hadn't forgot about your sister. They need to know, listen, I'm standing with you, brother. I'm standing with you, sister. And sometimes, come on, let's face it. Sometimes things happen to us in life that can be very heartbreaking. Can't it?
Yes.
I said, can't it?
Yes.
Things can happen in life that would absolutely crush us if it hadn't been for God. That's the reason Jesus lets us know we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And anytime you, well, let me say it this way, because we are in this world, the world's woes and disappointments and all that stuff is going to try to attach itself to us because we are in the world. We see things, we hear things, sometimes we feel things that we would prefer not, that's not beneficial to us. But we got to understand, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. And so we have to conduct ourselves like we were not of this world. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If yours is written there, raise your hand, raise it boldly. Hallelujah. See, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, which gives us a heavenly citizenship. You hear me? We have a heavenly citizenship. Now, we are still in the world because God is using us in the world. Amen. But here's the good thing about it. This is very, very temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary because we have a permanent citizenship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's strengthen our brothers. Let's strengthen our sisters. Let's give them hope. Let's show them in the Word of God where they have the victory over whatever it is they may be dealing with in their lives. You hear me? We ought to encourage one another, folks. Let's don't beat each other down. Let's don't beat each other up. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. You know, Kathy and I have a little system that we work together. You know, sometimes you hear, well, I'll use this example. This morning, we stopped by a restaurant, and I got me some breakfast, and the server, sweet lady, she says, y'all pray for me. And of course, my response was, sure will. But now let me tell you something, and you don't have to respond to this, but I just want to say, how many times, and this has happened to me, by the way, so I really know what I'm talking about because, you know, it's happened to me. But how many times have folks said, pray for me, and you say, sure will, and then you go and forget. You go and forget. So what we've decided to do when someone say, pray for me, or be praying for me, we'll go ahead and do it right then. So I went through the drive-through window. We went through the drive-through window. And so when I got my food, and she told us, she said, pray for me. And I told her, I said, we sure will. And I was driving, but Kathy was right sitting beside me. And I said, lead us in prayer for this lady. Right then and there. You hear me? Right then and there. Praise God. Because we're human. We're human, and you can forget. You can have good intentions, but you can forget. So in a case like that, it's good to pray as soon as possible. And if you, for some reason, you can't pray right then, jot it down so you will not forget. Hallelujah. You're still here. Because brothers and sisters need help. Amen. All right, that was number two. Number one, like I said, winning the lost. That's what we should be doing as a Spirit-filled church. Number two, strengthening our brethren. Number three, and we covered all this already, but praise and worship God. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be lifting up his name from one end of the earth to the other. We need to be praising him. not being ashamed of him, not walking around trying to be a secret agent Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't want nobody to know it. No, let's praise him. Let's worship him. Amen?
Amen.
And then we should be intercessors. That was number four. We should be intercessors. We need to be praying for things. You know, and I'm going to cover this a little more a little bit later on. I'm going to revisit this. But you have to understand that God, he's leaving us. We are in the world, but we're not of the world, but we're here for a reason. If we weren't here for a reason, the moment we got saved, we'd be out of here. Amen. The moment we got saved, boom, we in heaven. But we're here for a reason. And one of the reasons is to stand in the gap. To make a difference. Glory to God. Your prayers mean something. Your intercessions mean something. Amen. So again, we covered that last week, but we know that things change because we pray, don't it? Amen. Now number five is real close to number four, but number five is the Spirit-filled church is to take a stand against the devil. The Spirit-filled church is to take a stand against the devil. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn to the book of James. Hallelujah. First chapter. Now, I want to read the first two verses of the book of James, beginning at verse 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I wanted to read this because I want you to see something here in the book of James, and we'll go to another book and see the same thing. But notice that this letter was written to the church. Okay? Now, I know he says the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, but it's the church. He's talking to the born-again believers. Are you with me? Amen. Now, since he's talking to the born-again believers, he's talking to the church, just flip over to the fourth chapter, James chapter 4. And I won't read, matter of fact, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, and that's verse 7. He said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see that?
Amen.
I want to read it again. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we see in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that this book, the book of James, was written to the church. It was written to brethren, not just a brother or a sister. It was written to brethren. It was written to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason that we are reading it today, because we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. We can use James chapter 4, verse 7, as individuals and as a church. You still here? In other words, as an individual, I need to resist the devil in my life. However he tried to influence me, I need to stand my ground and resist him. Amen? But guess what? We're also supposed to resist him as a church. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Let me tell you something. He will take all he can take unless we stop him. He'll try to kill all he can kill, steal all he can steal from folks, make as many miserable as he possibly can unless we as a church step in. Hallelujah. You still here? So we see then that we can resist him as individuals, and we can resist him, or let me put it this way, we should resist him as individuals, and we should resist him as a church. Now let's look at another example. Let's just flip right over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Now in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 1, it says, Peter, 1 Peter 1, 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice again, Peter is writing to the church, and he named the different churches. Okay? You're still here. Now, let's go to chapter 5. Listen what he says in chapter 5. I'll begin reading it, verse 6. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, if you read, begin at verse 1, which I haven't done, but he was talking about the elders. He's talking about younger Christians. And, you know, he was dealing with some issues that we still have to deal with in churches today. Okay? But he goes on to say, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, how many of you know that's an individual promise? That's a promise to me personally. That's a promise to you personally, right? It goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take you out personally, and he wants to take out the church. Oh, he would love it if the church didn't exist at all. Then he would have his way. But look at verse 9. What does the word tell us to do? Resist him. How? Steadfast. How?
In the faith.
Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, we as individuals and we as a church collectively need to stand against the works of the devil, against the works of darkness. That's part of our responsibility as a church. Are you still here?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I won't go over there, but you can write it down in your notes. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul let it be known that that book was written to the church at Ephesus. To the church at Ephesus. But then when we go over to chapter 6, verse 11, it tells us to put on, and we won't go there now, but it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against all the wickedness of the devil. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we were here earlier, not today, but in one other Sunday. I want to go back. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there first, and then we'll go to Matthew 28. I get it right. Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, before I go any further, let me stop right there. This is very, very important. Who do you say he is? Now, I'm sad to say there's some confusion out in the world today, even among church folks, as to who Jesus really is. It's important that we know who he is. If it wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't ask his disciples. What are they saying out there? What are they saying out there? Now, what are you saying? I hear what you say they're saying out there. Obviously, they're confused out there, because they're calling him everything. But who do you say that I am? Amen. See, that's important. Glory to God. All righty. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter was blessed because he knew who Jesus was. Now, let's read on. Verse 18, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And let me clarify something. Jesus was not saying that he was going to build a church on Peter. And I won't go into all that, but Peter really means stone. Stone. You might say small rock. Let me read 18 again. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will, in other words, you are Peter, the little rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus is saying, if I can use this terminology, on this huge rock, I'm going to build my church. Well, who is the rock? Huh? He is the rock. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the rock that we stand on. It's not Peter, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Glory to God. Now, guys upstairs, give me the 19th verse in the New Living Translation. I want to read it to you. New Living Translation. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. You see that? All right, guys upstairs, I want this same verse in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Glory be to God. Now I want you to stay with me here a minute. Jesus told Peter that he was given not just Peter, but us, the keys of the kingdom. See, notice it doesn't say keys to the kingdom. We got that when we got saved. I'm in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the key to the kingdom. Amen. I'm part of the family of God because I'm born again. Are you with me? But Jesus also said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And one of the reasons I wanted to read the Amplified Version, because I think it clarifies it pretty good. Whatever Jesus has already bound, whatever Jesus has already declared unlawful, which means that if he declared it unlawful, it is unlawful in heaven. Jesus came and broke the power of sin over our lives. You hear me? Jesus came and broke the power of sin over our lives. Why? Because he broke the power of sin over our lives, we are no longer slaves to sin. Listen to me. We're no longer slaves to sin. Jesus broke that power over our lives. Sin is not allowed in heaven. What else? We could go on and on and on. He broke the power of fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. But what did he give us? Stop right there. Whoa, stop right there. We're gonna finish it, but I want to stop right there at power. He gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me? He gave us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And one of those keys is power.
Yes.
Which is also authority. That's what he gave us. You hear me? I said, that's what he gave us. Say this, say, he gave me power.
He gave me power.
You need to know that. He gave you power. And he gave us love. Love is a powerful thing. Love is a powerful thing, folks. It is so powerful that a man stepped down out of glory. He stepped down out of glory. He had a perfect situation, but he left it all, and he was driven by love. He was driven by love. To come to this sinful earth and to take on a body, the body of a man, and live in this earth as a man for 33 and a half years so that he could set us free. And see, it gets worse. Not only did he live on the earth for 33 and a half years and was victorious every second. But he died on the cross and took our sins with him. He took our sins to hell. In other words, he took our hell for us. Let me tell you, can I tell you something? Jesus took my hell for me. If he took my hell for me, he paid the price for me, why in the world do I want to work on going there?
Amen.
Because the free gift is right there for me. Thank God I received it. But some reject it. He's only going to die once. And once is enough. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. There are folks that's burning in hell right now thinking, I really didn't have to come here. I really didn't have to be here. But now it's too late. I can't change it. I had an opportunity. I rejected it. Aren't you glad you saved? My hands up. Yes, Lord. Aren't you glad you accepted his free gift of salvation? He gave us power. He gave us love. And I love this third one. He gave us a sound mind. You don't have to be squirrely. We don't have to be squirrely. Well, what do you mean by squirrely? Saw one this morning coming on our way to church. I'm talking about squirrels. Those are some of the most confused animals. I mean, God bless them. They have a purpose, you know. But they got to learn to, I didn't run over him, But they got to learn how to deal with automobiles. Because I watched that little squirrel. I was traveling slow. I was not traveling fast at all. And he had plenty of time to get out of the road, but finally he decided, I guess I get out the road. But the poor fella, you know, I'm just cruising about 20 miles an hour, and he's up ahead of me, and he see me coming, and he's doing this. And y'all know what I'm talking about, 'cause y'all, which side should I run on? Which side should I run on? Which side should I run on? And as you and I know, sometimes you can think too long. Finally, at the last second, he decided to go back where he came from. And so he will live, hopefully, another day. I hope he does. But you understand what I'm saying. Because that's not soundness of mind. And we deal with that in our life. Oh, what am I going to do? Where should I go? This way? Should I go? Blah, 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 blah. God, listen to me. God has already given us a sound mind. What are we supposed to do? Utilize it. Get that mind renewed with the Word of God. Then you know what to do. You know when to do, how to do, how long to do. You won't be in a state of confusion, because that brings fear. Amen? Glory be to God. Y'all still here? So Jesus says, upon this rock, well, we've read 18. Let me go to 19 again. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we've been given that power. We've been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. God has given you and I. God has given the church the authority to operate in his name. So when things ain't right, guess what? The church is supposed to do something about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still here with me? Turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. I'm going to try to move on a little faster here. Luke, the 10th chapter. That's the big problem with God's people. Many of them don't know who they are. They don't know who they are, but the devil knows who they are. He don't ever want you to learn who you are in Christ. Luke chapter 10. I'll just begin reading at verse 17. Then the 70, remember he sent the 70 out. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And by the way, they still are. Verse 18. And he said to them, you ready for this? I saw, past tense, by the way, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Let me read that again. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And listen to what he says, verse 19. Behold, I give you what? Amen, or authority. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and my Bible say authority. I think the King James Version, regular King James say power. Behold, I give you authority or power to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, he's not talking about regular little snakes that crawl around and scorpions that crawl around. That's not what he's talking about here. Amen. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over what? And over all the power of the enemy. Now, notice, he said, I give you authority or power. That's a position. God placed us in a position of authority over the devil. Say, that's me. And over all the power of the enemy, that's his abilities. Now, y'all looking at me. But it's in the Word of God. As a believer, especially a spirit-filled believer, you have been given authority over all the ability or power of the enemy. And listen to what Jesus said. And nothing, everybody say nothing. And nothing shall by any means do what? Hurt you. And Jesus said, I mean, you should know this. You should understand this. And he goes on to verse 20. He says, nevertheless, I do not rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What is Jesus saying? Our names being written in heaven is a major thing. Having authority over losers, that's no big thing. I mean, I used to hear, and I was a young believer, especially when I was in the service, a young believer, and I would visit different churches, and I'd hear people give their testimonies, and I like testimonies, some testimonies, don't like them all, but some testimonies, when they truly give glory to God and thanksgiving to God for what he has done, but sometimes, you know, folks, and they call this testimonies, but I put it over in the category, it should be anyway, a prayer request, because they'll stand up and say, well, saved, sanctified, and all that, and you know, the devil just been on my back, you know, I've been going through this, and it's supposed to be a testimony now, I'm going through this, and I'm going through that, and I'm going through the other, you know, and pray my strength in the Lord. And you left with your mouth open like, wow. Now, if you didn't know any better, it could put fear in you. You hear me? It could put fear in you because, boy, the devil been whipping up on that sister one. You know, I was in a service one time. This is years and years ago, lots of years ago. We probably been married a year, maybe, if that long, maybe 2 years, I'm not sure. We had been invited to this service, and we went one time, we went two times, to Sunday morning service and to the Sunday night service. But Sunday morning service, it was a little different, but we were invited to come back, so we went back to the Sunday night service, what we didn't know is that Sunday night, pastor was, that was casting out devils night. And you know, they brought out the buckets and everything, and I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking, man, because I wasn't used to that, you know, and they brought out the buckets, and they had their towels, and so, pastor called up a fella and started casting the devils out of him, you know, told him to cough and gag and spit. And, you know, glad my dinner had already digested. But this, you know, this guy was gagging and spitting, and I was rather young in the Lord. You know, both of us were young in the Lord, but I knew in my spirit, this ain't real. This is not real. Something wrong with this picture. And then he was calling other people up, so-called casting devils out of them. But what really got me, you know, some of the church members, matter of fact, he told them, get your Bibles and put your, how you say, put it over your heart and over your head, put your Bibles, because that's going to keep the devils away from you. And I'm looking over the congregation, over poor people. I ain't know much, but I knew something wrong with that picture. Because they were scared. They were frightened. It was a service of fear. But what did Jesus just say? I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus said, I've given you power, authority. Y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
Over all the abilities, the power of the devil. Come on, I hope y'all grabbing a hold of this.
Amen.
You have the right, we have the right to say in the name of Jesus, get out of my face. In the name of Jesus, go. One had the audacity to step, I saw him, standing in my bedroom door, this years ago. But I was spirit-filled, and I was learning my authority in Jesus Christ. I was asleep. Something woke me up, and I wasn't dreaming either. And I looked, and there's this little impy-looking thing, about that high, standing in my bedroom door looking at me. I said, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Boom. Gone. Because I knew my authority. Y'all don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. If you think I'm crazy, pray for me. But I'm not crazy. Over the years, I've seen some visions, both good and bad. You know? But I know God is good. And I know the devil is bad. And I know as believers, God's given us authority over the devil. Y'all still here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have my watch, so I know I got to close this out. All righty. Thank you, sweetheart. All right. Where'd I stop at, y'all? Verse 20. Okay. Yeah, Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I love verse 21. I guess I'm going to have to close out here on verse 21, but listen to this. In that hour, everybody say, in that hour.
That hour.
What hour are we talking about? The hour, the same hour that he was talking to the 70 that returned with joy. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, are you ready for this? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fact, the knowledge of knowing that we've been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the knowledge of knowing that we have been given authority over all the works of the enemy. And Jesus rejoiced and said, Father, I rejoice that you have given this to babes, those that are willing to receive and learn. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians some too, near the end of that chapter. How those with natural human wisdom can't accept these things. Well, I can't see it. Of course you can't see it. You need to become like a child, ready to receive the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all still with me? I hadn't gone off and left you, have I? But Jesus rejoiced because of the authority that he had placed in his people. Because we have the power to cast out devils. We have the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And it's all done in his name. In his name. In his name. Hallelujah. Is this blessing anybody else other than me? We're the church. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and be the church. Matter of fact, in closing, Jesus told us, he says, listen, I'm going away, but you're going to do, I told the disciples, but the church is going to do a greater work than I've done. Because Jesus was in his earthly body, could only be in one place at a time. But guess what? We can cover the earth. We can cover the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the anointing of God on our lives. I hope y'all ready to go run with this. Amen. You know, I thank God for these seats here. He's blessed us with, you know, nice and soft. Y'all comfortable? Y'all beat what we used to have, isn't it? But let me tell you something. God wants you to take what you are learning and what you have received while seated right here and take it to the world. Take it to your job. Take it to the street, wherever you have an opportunity. Be willing to pray. Praise the name of the Lord. Give God praise, will you? I know you guys. I think y'all can do better than that. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you this. I am closing. The musicians are coming. I'm closing. But if the enemy can keep you distracted, if he can keep your mind on other things, then your mind will not be on the things of God. If he can get your attention, if he can get you sidetracked, if he can get you looking over here, looking over there, we'll miss what God is doing. We don't have to, brothers and sisters. We don't have to. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. You've given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm.